Welcome back, guys. DJS and Camo X 405. George Mahey from St. Louis Magazine is here. It's a little muggy out there.
Yeah, a little muggy. Is that a little Creedence Clearwater?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Man. I remember that. That was a good song.
Great band.
I love CCR.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that in a while. Thanks for doing that.
We play that one. We played it in the last Dave Glover Band. I love singing that one because it's just so, you know, like going to church.
I just love it. I haven't heard it in a long time, and it made me smile. So
yeah, we'll play that one again.
Since George Mahey is here from St. Louis Magazine, we would be remiss if we didn't remind people to vote for the Dave Glover Show in St. Louis Magazine's A-List Reader's Choice Award.
Yeah, we're not pushing that nearly enough.
It's up on our Facebook page.
Well, you should.
And you can vote once per day. So
yes,
go do that, please.
I was going to say you can do that because that's all I can say. I have no other influence. I don't know, you know. I can't watch the polls and like, you better get some people together, Dave, because, you know, you're in second place. But no, I have no idea how that goes. But it's a big deal. There's 200 categories,
man.
Which is just, and we write up every one of them and give everybody their due. And I think, you know, it's, for whatever it's worth, it's a, anytime you get voted anything, it's a good thing. And I always talk about this with restaurants all the time. Just don't ever ignore being voted on something and talk about it and talk it up. You know, what else do you have to do?
Yeah, so, yeah. What are we talking about today?
We should talk about Ben Perumba, and we've talked about him before, and I don't want this to sound like a broken record, but you know, this guy is doing things in this city that nobody's ever done. And okay, we knew that he closed his three restaurants in Botanical Heights, closed them all on New Year's Eve in like 2023, and said, I'm moving all these across town. And it's like, that was like the craziest thing anybody's ever done. What are you, nuts? You know, you've got three successful places here. Nope, I'm going to move them across town into this little spot on Del Mar that has been dubbed the Del Mar Maker District because everybody is a maker there, and there's a focus on the artisanal aspect. So everybody sees all these artisans doing everything. The restaurants all have open kitchens. So he says, I'm going to put all these three restaurants there, and I'm going to do a couple more also. And he opened a place called Esca. Have you been to Esca yet? Go there. It's a singular experience. It's a really beautiful restaurant. You'll walk in, and it's one of those, I think I'm in Chicago or New York, or it doesn't look anything like you'd expect it to look. It's dark and black. You can't tell anything from the outside. You walk in, and it's just outstanding. So he does, you know, this isn't even the three restaurants that he's moving. He starts with this one. Anyway, I'll fast forward to today. You know, they suffered through the tornado, and he said, you know, we're here to stay. You know, one of the places that I was going to put one of these restaurants was pretty much decimated, and they're rebuilding the whole place. So most recently, he's moved one of his restaurants into this. There was a spot there where Alpha Brewing and Distilling was, and there was a Steve's Hot Dogs there, and there was a Fountain on Locust there in this little kind of subset of the Del Mar Maker District. Well, all three of those places went out of business. And it's just kind of just sitting there. And it's like, okay, you know, and this is Ben's neighborhood. And it's like, okay, so I bet Ben's going to do something there. And sure enough, we're going to move one restaurant up into this spot. And then he announces that he's going to do another one. And this one opens in a couple weeks, and it's called Del Bono. And if you know anything about Ben's restaurants, the design of all these is... It's just amazing what he does. His idea is, he goes, I want to have my restaurants where you could just like pluck them up off the site and move them into another city, and that they'll look just fine there too. So they're kind of a universal appeal, and they're just, it's just really beautifully done. This one's got this giant round copper pizza oven that some guy from Maine came down to, you know, to build this thing. It's got copper pots hanging from the ceiling. The walls are all black, and there was a muralist that came in with copper tape. So did the mural in copper tape. So there's these images done. You have to see this. It's just,
so I have to ask.
It's beautiful,
and it's none of my business, but I'm going to ask anyway. Was Ben already rich?
No, I think he's got. I think he's got investors. You know, that help him with these. You know, the idea. I mean, again, he did the same thing originally in Botanical Heights. He got into these places on the cheap, basically, and said, okay, they said, hey, you're going to do these restaurants, we're going to help you out. I think they gave him very favorable rent, and that was great, I think, for 10 years. And then, as sometimes happens, you get to be successful, and all of a sudden your rent, now your rent's double. You know, he couldn't come up with a deal.
Yeah.
So he packed up his bags and moved them across town, and he's going to do, the intention is to do the same thing in the Del Mar Maker District. This little section of Del Mar that's a third of a mile long, and you know what I'm here to tell you is he will have eight by the end of this year.
Jeez.
eight restaurants in a third of a mile.
Damn.
And the most recent one, like I said, is this place called Del Bono, and you know, wood-fired pizzas and, you know, special flour from Italy that he says is the best he could find, the best in the world. All these beautiful, this mural, this I've never seen anything like it. It's like I said, black walls and copper tape. And we just put an article out today for those that want to look at it. And it's very, I can't wait to go see it in person because it's just outstanding. And his idea is, with all these restaurants in the same neighborhood, he said, you know, I want high, I want medium, I want low. I just want to attract everybody. You know,
man,
the same guy on different nights of the week. You know, you want to spend some money, you want to really, you know, blow some dough, well, then go to Elia, which hasn't opened yet. You know, you want something reasonable, go to Del Bono and have a pizza. So he's really got this whole neighborhood thing down in this little pocket that he's putting these three restaurants in.
And people now, like him, are gold. For a city,
there's no replacing. There's no second. I don't know anybody that's done it anywhere. Really, he's just unbelievable. He's an amazing visionary, and it sounds like I'm on the Ben Paremba payroll, but I'm not. But man, I appreciate what the guy has done, and I thought it was cool enough when he said, "I'm going to relocate these three." I go, yeah. "Well, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen." And now he's
makes me tired to think about eating in eight restaurants, much less running eight restaurants.
And exactly, and they're all different. They're all fun. They're all, he's a detailed nut. I think he sits around and just, you know, debates a salt and pepper shaker for days, you know, and everything is, if you look at every detail in every one of his restaurants, it's been very, very carefully thought out and thought through. So
that's great.
So anyway, this Del Bono opens on June 18th is, that's what I'm here to tell you today. And, it was in the old Alpha, what was it called? Alpha Brewing and Distilling. So there's this, it's all glass except for, you know, basically glass walls. So it's, you know, he had to work with that. But anyway, I didn't know what to expect. And I sent the photographer over there and to do the story. And she comes back with these photos. I went, man, he's done it again, you know? So, hats off to one of the city's best culinarians. You know, we're really, really glad to have that guy. And again, he's over in Tornado Alley. So double kudos to him for hanging in there.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people wouldn't. They would have said, you know what, it isn't happening. Yeah. And the pockets aren't deep enough to kind of double down and redo all mm-hmm. this. So, but I guess he's got investors. I don't know, but it's not cheap to open a restaurant these days.
No.
I mean, you're talking seven figures for most of the time. You know, it's $1 million to open a restaurant, which is just crazy. But
what are the numbers like just in your industry? Like, percentage of restaurants that close within a year, percentage of restaurants that make money within five, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, I mean, they always, you know, it was half of them close within, you know, a year or two. And I think, I don't know that that's true here because I, you know, as you know, I report on all this stuff and I chronicle it every month and I don't see that many closures for the openings. I see a lot more openings and they're hanging in there even through all this craziness and pandemics and you know, everything else that you want to point to, recessions. There's still way, way more openings and closings. So it's still, they hang in there, but they're not making the money that they used to. And not that they ever made a whole lot, but now it's margins are very slim and, you know, prices are up and labor's crazy, you know, all this stuff that you've heard before. So, you know, everybody that's in this business now is, you know, hurting a little bit. They're strapped and there's not a lot of wiggle room. I don't think the price of, you know, anything on their P&L is going down.
Well, I know going through this with Jeff Fitter, who had Super Smokers, he was like, Dave, I can't charge, I can only charge so much for brisket.
Yeah.
And if I'm paying more, you know, I you just can't lose money month after month after month. You just can't do it.
I was just talking to a guy on the way down, and he's in the meat business. And it's the exact same thing. He goes, you know, you go into restaurants and see, you know, $60, $70, $80 steaks. And you know what? They should be charging more than that. But they can't. There's no way they can.
Sure.
So, yeah, the margins get pinched, and they try to make money on other things and all these little tricks that, that guys do. But, I say it all the time, support the local restaurants, keep these guys in business, and make sure that, that you know, you can go over to the Del Mar Maker District anytime and go to any of these Ben Paremba restaurants and be very happy. And, you know, and like I said, he goes, I want to put this place and be able to plop it down into Vegas and have it look like it belongs there. And he's been able to pull this off. That's really hard to do.
Yeah, very, very cool. Thank you, Georgie.
Yeah.
I'm ready for it.
422 DGS on KMOX. Happy Friday. Dave Murray says it's going to be warm and muggy this weekend, and the best chance of thunderstorms is on Sunday, so plan accordingly for Cardinals baseball, whatever else you guys are doing. Do some flashback, Rach?
Yeah, June 5th, back in the day, 70 years ago in 1956, Elvis Presley went on the Milton Berle Show.
Oh, boy.
And thrust his manhood at the camera. It caused so much controversy that from then on, cameras would only shoot him from the waist up.
Yeah, must have been something.
Look at us now in 2026.
Yeah, look at us now.
It seems so quaint, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, for sure.
61 years ago in 1965, I Can't Get No Satisfaction by the Rolling Stones was released.
Huh. They're still going at it.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I saw, speaking of the Elvis thing, either of you know who Steve Allen is? He was before Carson.
Oh, yeah.
He's one of those guys.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And he famously got everything wrong. And he did a thing with a hound dog and Elvis playing hound dog, thinking he was really getting Elvis. And everyone's just like, you're a D. And then I saw a clip of him reading the lyrics to Come Together by the Beatles. And he's like, here come old Flat Top. He come grooving up slowly.
Didn't he do that bit on like the award show every
yes.
year?
Yes. Yeah. And everyone's just like, shut up, bitch. Yeah. And it's like, it's the Beatles.
All right. 58 years ago in 1968, Robert F. Kennedy was shot at the Ambassador Hotel in L.A. just after winning the California Democratic primary.
That's a crazy one. Any assassination is crazy. But the guy who did it, supposedly, was named Sirhan Sirhan. I remember that because I'm like, he had two mm-hmm. same names. And has claimed for all of these decades that he has no memory of it. He had nothing against RFK. He has no memory of it. And this was one of the original conspiracy theories.
Right.
Was that he was controlled.
And he was MK Ultra.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's always been, I guess you could say, the legend, right?
Yes. Yes.
45 years ago in 1981, the CDC reported the first cases of AIDS in 5 men in Los Angeles. More than 200,000 AIDS cases were reported in the U.S. alone during the next 10 years.
That was so sad for so many reasons. Because I was, what year was that, Rach?
1981.
Okay, so I would have been a junior in high school. But yeah, everyone just was so freaked out about it. And it was a terrible thing for gay people, not just the disease, but people looked at them as lepers and lesser than, and there was already discrimination, and then it was just much easier to do. People didn't want to play basketball against Magic Johnson
yeah.
because they thought if they got his sweat on them, it was just a crazy time.
Well, that's why it was such a big deal, right? When Princess Diana like went to visit AIDS patients
yeah.
and like was holding hands and
yeah.
stuff. I mean, that kind of showed people
yeah.
you don't have to be so afraid of
yeah.
the situation.
The Magic Johnson thing was wild when
crazy.
It happened, but it
mm-hmm.
was also like informative, right? It wasn't just gay people getting it,
right?
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, he was known I think he's admitted it. Like, he slept around a lot.
And he had HIV,
right, that's, he doesn't have full blown AIDS, right.
Yeah, it's helpful for people to know the difference, too.
Yeah.
I still don't
think
And the
fact that he still looks healthy.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That was 35 years ago.
Yeah.
And he's out there doing his thing. Now, I mean, again, it's not everybody's case, and he's had the access to the best medical care. He has no money questions, you know. So, I mean, he's got access to things that maybe average people wouldn't. But still, it taught people a lot.
And Dave, my understanding is that HIV can progress into AIDS, but not everyone with HIV has AIDS.
That's correct.
And HIV is very treatable in this day and age.
Yeah, right. They have ways that can make it basically undetectable. Yeah.
44 years ago in 1982, Sophia Loren finished serving a 17-day sentence in an Italian jail for tax evasion.
I wish I could have been her cellmate. Oh, my God. Sophia Loren.
I mean, she's one of the all-time most beautiful women.
Amazing.
But isn't that nuts? 17 days in jail.
You know, it's more nuts than that. That tells me that my 45th high school reunion is coming up.
Oh, yeah.
That doesn't seem possible. That doesn't seem possible. Welcome back, DGS. Happy Friday, 4:38. I know it's not good to wish ill on your fellow man, and I try not to. But for some reason, on one of our televisions, it's playing old episodes of Maury Povich.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care if anything good ever happens to that guy again. He's got his millions of dollars. He's married to Connie Chung. But you know what? What a waste of a life. You made all that money off of a bunch of white trash Hoosiers finding out who's the baby daddy was. Like, no.
It's hard to argue that that show added anything to society.
Or no. throw in Jerry Springer and Jenny Jones and all those.
No one made anyone watch it.
No.
And they were very popular, so there's an obvious appetite. But man, at some point, is have some something that looks like ethics.
I mean, I know at the end, like, Jerry Springer regretted that he did it. Like, I should never have done all those things. Well, too bad, man. You made the move for the money.
Yep.
The caption is, "I'm 63. She's 21. A DNA test will prove I did not get her pregnant." I'm on the edge of my seat.
And is that a current show?
No, because I think his show is over.
Okay.
So this might have just been like a late episode.
So, Wheels, we've talked about this topic before. I'm always happy to talk about this topic. I know you have a different angle this time, but backer-inners and non-backer-inners.
Yeah, so I had a question about this because it pops up every so often, and I saw it again where people are, you know, they get mad at you if you are the person that backs into the parking lot. Or into your parking spot. And I do that, but it's not about relitigating that. I think, though, you know, I wonder if you agree with me on this. I think the people who hate it are telling something about themselves, and I don't even mean a negative thing. But it's telling me that the stress of other people being around you bothers you so much you'd rather inconvenience yourself than inconvenience someone else.
Flesh that out for me.
So, for example, the knock on the backing into your spot is, oh, it's taking time. First of all, it doesn't. If you know what you're doing, it takes much more time than just pulling into the spot. And it's not about a fast getaway sometimes. Sometimes it's about when you're pulling into the garage or a parking lot. It's calm now. So if I do this now, if it's busy later, it's easier pulling out when it's busy if I'm facing the correct way or facing out instead of facing the other direction. Either way, you have to back up. It's just about whether you do it in the beginning or in the end. So it's not a fear of backing up. It's nothing like that. It's just more of like, all right, it sets me up for later if things aren't as calm as they are now. And I think that it sounds like the main criticism is you're holding people up by doing it.
So I'm a hater.
Mm-hmm.
And here are my objections to it. And they're just going to make me sound increasingly crazier. It does bother me when people do it because it's taking up time. Now, you know me. I'm not 007.
Right.
I don't have anywhere to be usually. So it's not like, hey, I have brain surgery in 10 minutes. But it's just annoying. And here's the one that makes me sound crazy. It's because doing that makes me feel like you feel that you're better than me.
See, that's what I'm getting to.
Yes.
It is a tell. And again, I don't mean it as a negative. I'm not
saying
it's
a negative.
Oh,
it's
is
a negative.
It? Okay, I don't mean it that way. I think it's just more you saying this is my personality.
Yeah.
And one way or the other, I'm feeling judged for it.
Yeah.
But you're not being, I don't judge anybody that pulls in forward.
No, we just judge you for doing it that makes us feel inferior.
Right. Yeah. But it shouldn't. Why would it make you feel that way?
Like, what are you? Are you Batman?
Maybe.
Like, where do you need to be?
Oh,
maybe.
You know how to drive.
Yeah. It's that
I'm struggling out
here. Okay, but you got to back up at the end of it if you pull in forward.
That's
either
different.
Way, you got to do the same thing.
But for me, as a non-backer inner, I don't have decades of experience of backing into spaces. So I would have to really, really concentrate.
And you got the screen on your car.
Oh, man.
I don't look at those.
What? Oh, my God, it's the best thing ever.
No.
I have gotten a lot better at parallel parking, like a lot better. I'm actually pretty decent at it. But there are days where, like, as soon as I start to do it, I'm like, I'm doing it wrong. I did it wrong.
Now, see,
it's so embarrassing because I parallel park on my street, and I'm like, I just know my neighbors can see me. I'm seeing it happen again.
I'm not a backer inner, but I am hell on wheels at parallel parking.
Uh-huh.
But there are times... If it's an especially small space, I'm just like, not today, my friend.
I'm just going to continue to drive around. But it was interesting because I was watching the back and forth on this. I think it was on Twitter. It was a post on Twitter about it. And I was watching the back and forth, and it seemed like the same response to on the negative side of it was, well, you just think you're so special. But no, I don't. I just think it's a more convenient way to do it. If in that now, if I have five cars lined up behind me, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to pull in and get out of the way.
Okay. Is there anything, Wheels, that you see other people do that you think like, oh, look at them. They think they're so cool.
Yeah, the left lane campers. The ones that sit there and go 55 in the left lane.
Like they think they're better than
everybody.
Like
they think they're policing everybody else. Or it's or it's my lane because I'm comfortable here and I don't want to be by the other cars over there where people are merging. So I'm going to get over here where I'm more comfortable. Yeah. The driving's not about your comfort level, man.
Yeah, you're bringing up an actual like safety issue, though. Like that is not how you are supposed to
drive. Right.
You're
making it
less safe for everyone
else
on the road.
That's correct. You are screwing it up by doing it that way. That's correct. But I can't count how many times. I mean, it's every day. People just camping in the left lane. Like, well, it's not hard. If you're not, it's okay to not be going faster. It's okay. There are plenty of lanes for that.
Yeah.
And then those people get mad if somebody comes up on them. They're like, well, what do you expect?